All of us dressed like golfers today. Paul Zeiss across from me. Bob Pompiani across from me.
I can't believe that you said negative things about Eddie Money.
About who?
Eddie Money. This
is a great song. Oh, is that this guy?
Yes.
He sucks.
He sucks. In the 80s, as a child of the 80s, Eddie Money was like one of the coolest. He was one of the coolest guys that, you know, we all wanted to be Eddie Money.
Bob, did your mic work there? Say something.
It's on.
There you go. Okay.
I'm just checking.
I'm not accusing you.
Yes, you just did.
That reminds me of the thing that happened the other day, Paul.
What?
Paul and I were on a golf course, and there was a ball between us. And
oh, Talon's guy or whatever.
Yeah, a kid drives up, and I said, "What ball are you playing?" He said, "Taylor." I said, "So am I." And then he drives right up to me and says, "Does it have shakas on it?" Like in a threatening way. "Does it have shakas on it?" And he puts the ball right in my face. And I was like, "No." He said, "I'm not." I said, "I'm not accusing you of anything." And the kid said, "It sounds like you are." And then luckily I had Paul next to me in the cart. It could have gotten ugly from there.
See, that's insane. That's terrible etiquette on behalf of that person. Should have been thrown off the golf course.
Yeah, yeah. He's just one of these guys, one of these little snot nose. You know how they are.
I mean, okay.
The little punk, the snot nose. He'll learn. He'll grow up and mature. Right now, he's the coolest.
Unfortunately, there are a lot right of those now, kind of people around.
Yeah, right now, he's the self-appointed coolest man on the planet. And,
did you even realize what was happening?
No,
I wanted
you
to threaten him.
I really didn't. I kind of missed
like
the whole thing.
Yeah, I know, but you were next to me in the cart, which is amazing that you missed the whole thing.
I did. I was texting somebody about there was something going on.
Part of me was like, "Paul, jump in here," because I think Paul would have intimidated them.
I just kind of periphery, sort of heard it on the periphery, but I wasn't really paying attention until I was like, "Was that guy trying to get smart with you?" You know, like, I was like, that guy trying to get smart with you or something? Yes.
There could have been a fight, Bob. You ever been in a fight on the golf course?
No, but I see more of them. That's the last place I would expect fights. And yet, it's happening. It's ridiculous.
Closest I ever came to a fight on the golf course, right, is there's these punks playing in front of us, right? And so, they just were, like, jacking around, playing slow. All that other stuff, right? So finally, I kind of said, you know, I drove up to them on the fairway. I said, "Dudes, I mean, come on, it's ridiculous." Like, you know, they were young punks. They were probably like 19, 20, 21 years old, jagging around. It's like, listen, you're holding up the whole golf course. The last green I saw you, you know, they did the thing where they put the putter into the green, that kind of crap. Okay.
What do you mean? Slam the putter into
the
green?
Slam the putter into the green, and they left them. They made it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, on the very next hole, dude hits a ball and doesn't yell four, and it comes sailing my way. You know what I mean? And it kind of bounces.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, it kind of bounces, you know, sort of near the tee box. So, I emptied my bag with balls and started firing them off my driver at him. Just kept firing at him.
You didn't say four either.
I didn't say no. I made it very clear that I was. And so as they're driving up the fairway, I'm aiming at him. You know what I mean? Trying to hit. I there was like 20 golf balls laying on the fairway. That was the closest. You know what I mean? That was. You know what? It was effective because they sped up and they got out of there. By the time I got down to the parking lot after they
see now this supports my argument about the wasted management golf tournament. This is why I don't want to see more of that because it leads to this kind of crap. And you have to deal with it, Joe. You had a guy put a golf ball in your face because he probably watched the wasted management golf. And
don't
he saw,
blame that
yeah, it starts. It's like iPhones. Everyone wants to be a hero. Narcissistic behaviors rewarded left and right. This is what happens. And then they have.
Get off my lawn!
Exactly. Seriously, this is the kind of stuff that I want to prevent from the glorious game of golf.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, come on.
But I don't think it's the fans at the Waste Management Open.
It sends the bad. I'm telling you.
That kid was just a punk.
Okay. You don't have to be a punk when you're on the golf course unless you want to be a punk.
I'm just
is
saying
this
that
thing
kid.
New? Is that screen new that we can watch ourselves?
Yeah, I don't want to watch that.
I don't want to see myself.
It's so we can see the guest.
Oh.
like whenever we have, you know, Kabali or somebody on it, so you can see.
Yeah, but
see
how about if you're calling on a cell phone?
Well, now they have people calling on the video line.
I know.
Yeah, they call. You're right. They call on the video. Look, Bob, there you are, dressed in green.
No. It's too early in the day to be seen like
that. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that is actually up to, like, if you go on a video feed, you've just, like, pulled it up right now on your computer, it's probably, like, 10 seconds or 20 seconds behind. Mm-hmm. But I think that is actually a live feed, like a live feed.
So we can see, yeah.
So we can see it, you know what I mean?
All right, well, let's get to the business at hand here, and there's lots of it. Let's start. Everybody doing well then, I assume? None of us seems to be in a bad space today.
It's wonderful. It's a beautiful day. You got to enjoy them all, man.
Paul seems happy. Nelly, everything okay? Nelly gave me the thumbs up.
All is well.
That doesn't work on the radio, but all's well does. Yes, I'm glad to hear it. The Steelers draft. And I'm going to say this right off the top here. Paul wrote about it. I know with that it's somewhat, you know, of a folly to analyze a draft right after it happens. It is. But I'm going to tell you that this was my favorite Steeler draft that I can remember. And it started with the first pick. I think I was an easy guy to please this year because they had so many different needs. I remember Paul and I talking last week, just take the best guy. You know, unless it's a quarterback or obviously a running back. Take the best guy on your board. It's bad to have so many needs, but it's good in a way because you can't go wrong, right? Just take the best guy. And then to get Zach Frazier from the Fighting Adam Crowleys. And then to get Roman Wilson, who's a guy that I watched, so I'm probably biased toward him. I love that guy. And then to get Peyton Wilson, the Bednarik winner. Turn on some tape of this guy because he was hurt 3 years ago and maybe 5 and 7 years. I don't care because he doesn't have an ACL in his knee. Neither did Greg Lloyd or Hines Ward or DeJuan Blair when he played at Pitt or a bunch of people. I don't care about that. This dude played 23 games the last 2 years. He might have been the best linebacker in this draft. I cannot believe that they got him. Other guys have dropped like that. Willis McGahee missed a whole year. Remember that?
Yeah.
After that knee injury, Thurman Thomas dropped in the draft. There's so many. All I know is for the last 2 years, this guy's been healthy and not good, but great. I cannot believe they got him. So, Paul, you know, as ridiculous as it might seem to grade a draft right after a draft, I'm telling you that this is my favorite one that the Steelers have had that I can remember. Maybe since they got Ben, just for the fact they got Ben.
Well, I like the most. The thing I like the most about this draft is they got a bunch of guys that seem like they all got a little bit of a nasty edge to them. And I think that is sort of, you know, the Steelers need a little bit of that. They needed to get back to a little bit of that. Just sort of the nastiness, the physicality, the mentality of, and I think when you hire Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator, that's what you're saying. This is how we want to play football. You know, the first round pick, I've watched plenty of video clips of him, and every single one of them, he's looking to really inflict pain on somebody. He doesn't just want to block somebody. He wants to hit the hell out of them. Zach Frazier, I've seen more clips of him with blood coming out of his nose or on his uniform, or you know what I mean? The one where he's crawling off the field with a broken leg because he doesn't want to give a 10-second runoff up. Tough guy, you know? The receiver from Michigan, I saw a clip of him. I think it was after the national championship game, where he basically said, "You know, most of the teams they all want to, you know, have Louis Vuitton bags and this and that, but they all want to be pretty and fancy." And I don't know that I see a whole lot of people that want to play football the way we play it here. He's like, "We all want to hit somebody." And then, of course, as you said, Peyton Wilson. I mean, to me, they got a bunch of guys who I don't know if they can play a lick, but I do know this. They're going to go out and they're going to have an edge, and they're going to probably give the Steelers a little bit of an edge. They're probably going to be the type of guys that stir things up a little bit in training camp, right? And I think that's what the Steelers need. More than anything else, the Steelers, and I hate to say it this way, but they've become like this soft team that nobody cares about, that nobody even worries about or takes seriously anymore. I think you add some guys like this, you know, you still have T.J. Watt. You've got it. Now all of a sudden you're starting to put together a group again of guys who want to go out in the field and be ass kickers, and I think that's what you need.
Yeah, I think same thing, especially with the Ravens bringing in Derrick Henry. They pound the ball anyway. They want to pound the ball even more. That's going to be a violent rivalry. It's always been one. It's going to be more violent, I think, now with these kind of guys. But when you have a couple of new quarterbacks, two of the guys who were sacked more than any quarterback in the game the last 2 years, you want to give them more protection to number one, to have time down the field when you're looking down the field so you don't always have to take off. But number two, so that run game, which they do, and they're not shying about saying this, they want to have a very good run game. That's how you shorten games. That's how you set up third and short, second and short, whatever, and you have options. And I think that's what their philosophy is. So from that point of view, yeah, they did a very good job. I'm concerned a little bit about Peyton Wilson only because so many teams passed on him. And I realize they brought him in and did their own medicals, but you're always concerned with people who have injuries in the past. And
well, that's why they got him.
I know. I can only assume that all these teams that didn't want him, you know, kind of went back on that. And I hope they're going to look back and say that that was a mistake because the guy is a football lover. He fits exactly what you need, especially from an inside linebacker. And if you have him healthy, along with Patrick Queen and Landon Roberts, and down the road, Holcomb, whenever he's ready, that's a pretty good inside linebacking, probably the best since Shazier's injury.
Maybe even before that. I think it has a potential. He has better athleticism at the inside linebacker spot, I think, maybe in the whole Tomlin tenure. Obviously, Shazier was a premier athlete. I get it, but I'm talking both guys together. Yeah. And this Peyton Wilson, Bobby, that's why he was available. All I know is he ran a – what'd he run?
4.43, and Shazier had a 4.39.
I mean, that's insane.
For an inside linebacker. So with no ACL.
Hasn't affected his speed,
no.
And he just played 23 straight games against pretty high-level college competition and killed people.
Yeah.
So whatever injuries he's had, yes, it's clearly a concern. It is. But it hasn't affected him.
No, he fills up the stat sheet every time he's out.
And I'll give you one more little nugget. Greg Gattuso, who coaches at Albany, right? They lost in the semifinal this year to South Dakota State, who won it all.
Mason McCormick.
Yeah. And he texted me and said, this dude that they got is a mauler. I have no doubt he's going to make the team. He's a mauler.
Well, he's going to make the team.
He's a tough SOB.
But he won't play a lot this year.
Yeah.
What he will do is give them insurance when James Daniels is not offered another contract, if that's the way they want to go. Because they have guys who have expiration on contracts. So he gives you the support you need without you waiting until next year to get it.
But basically he was saying that the guy
is – Well, the video is insane.
The guy is a mauler, and the Steelers got a good one, a really good one.
Well, here's the thing, too, is that Andy Weidel and Omar Khan have put their stamp on these drafts because when you actually look at what was going on before those two got into their current roles here, it was kind of ugly. The 22 draft right now looks like a disaster. They drafted their quarterback of the future, and he's not even here anymore. Pickens was a really good pick, it looks like. Leal, Austin, Hayward, Robinson, Oladokun. What did they get? They got one guy, and they missed on their quarterback. The 21 draft was the Najee Freiermuth draft. It was okay. I think they probably got the wrong positions with that draft. 20, they got Highsmith, but other than that, nobody's left. 19, nobody's left from their 19 draft. It's 2024. You're supposed to have guys going on their second deals.
Right.
2018 was Edmonds, Washington, Rudolph, and Chooks. And then we know 16 was a disaster. I mean, this is – the one was really good with T.J. Watt, Juju, Sutton, Connor. That was a really good draft. But, man, the Steelers had really started to fall off on their drafts. And the reason that Khan and Weidel have earned the benefit of the doubt this year is because what the imprint they put on last year. And Tomlin, you know, deserves credit too, although he was part of those drafts that were starting to just slide downhill. I can't help but think that Andy Weidel specifically, Bob, has had a transformative effect maybe on their drafting because it wasn't good and it was borderline disastrous. And last year was a great draft And I think this year's might be, too.
If you take Alex Highsmith out of 2020, basically 2019 and 2020 are just a complete waste.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, they at least they turned Claypool into a pick, right? They turned him into Joey Porter. But, yeah.
Well, Dotson looks like it was probably a good pick, and they just didn't get the right stuff out of him for whatever reason. He goes to another place, and he was outstanding. But, yeah, I think, you know, when you look at it, this is – meat and potatoes, baby. And Andy Weidel, when he was in Philadelphia, made sure they had some of the best people in both the offensive and defensive line. So his effect on this is very obvious, I think. But they've come to a conclusion that that's what they need to do to be successful. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't care how football changes. I don't care what people say about, yeah, it is a very offensive game. You have to score points, especially in the red zone. But the fundamentals of it remain the same. If you can do better on both the offensive and defensive line and win those battles, chances are you're going to have pretty good success in other battles, I think.
Who was your favorite pick? Mine's Peyton Wilson. Easily Peyton Wilson. It's unbelievable that they may have gotten the best linebacker in this season. It's not, there's nothing other than this long injury history from way in the past. The guy's 6'4", 233, and is a sprinter. Stunned. He's a sprinter.
Yeah.
And he kills people.
And he's mean.
And he won the Bednarik Award. He's my favorite pick at
98. I think I like the other one. The other Wilson I like, really like, the receiver, Roman Wilson.
What, Nelly?
What? What just happened?
I don't know. They lead the league in Wilsons right now.
Yes.
Do they?
Yeah. Wilson.
But
Wilson.
But Roman Wilson ran a 4.39, which means he's a speedy guy.
He's very clutch. But he doesn't drop anything.
Yeah, he's got great hands. But I like the you know, a little bit of Hines Ward in him, where he wants to go hit somebody. Well, he's small. So.
But in one of the interviews I saw, his thing was, hey, philosophy at Michigan: no block, no rock. Meaning, if I don't block, I ain't getting a ball.
Right.
And he was J.J. McCarthy's really go-to guy whenever J.J. McCarthy got in trouble.
And then there's the first-round pick. I'm going to call him Fatano. You like that, Bob? Is that the right pronunciation? What do you got?
You actually can
here?
Make it foo, you know, latter-day Chris Fuamatumafala. And when you say foo, you know who you're talking about.
Fatano?
It could be Fautanu.
It's Fautanu.
Fautanu.
Technically. Fautanu will do.
Fautanu.
He's not going to argue.
Fautanu, yeah.
I thought there was an O at the end.
Fautanu.
Yes, Fautanu. I heard Missy Matthews the other day talking about it. It's a U, but it's pronounced as an O.
Fautanu.
Is it?
Yes.
Did you look on that thing where you can get the pronunciation?
I trust Missy Matthews.
Well, I do too, but I'm just wondering. when I saw U, I don't see O.
Well, I know you don't see O, but it's pronounced as an O, Bob.
How do you know?
Should I say it for the third time, Nelly?
You're the savvy old news hound. I would expect that you had dug into this.
What
all due respect
say?
To Missy. Missy knows what she's doing, but I'm just.
Of course.
I want to hear it from him, I guess.
Did he say it the other day?
I don't know what he said.
I'm going to call him Fa.
If you say Tano. Foo, you'll know what he's talking about.
Fatano. Fatano.
Foo with a great block on the outside. He pancaked that guy.
Anyway, I thought when they first took him, they might have been taking their next center, because I kept reading how this guy it translates to the inside and could play center. Did he play center in the past or guard or something?
He's played every position, apparently, at one point, limitedly at some, but I mean, he's mostly what he is.
Okay, so where is this guy going to play this year? Is he going to start this year? Is it seems obvious it's going to be right tackle, right? And they're going to move Jones back to the left?
I would think that makes sense.
Is he going to start the first game, Paul?
Yes.
He should.
I think
he
absolutely.
And Frazier both.
I think both of those guys will start the first game.
Well, you know, with Jones and Porter last year, that's why I ask, bring guys along a little slowly. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, but I agree with that, but it wouldn't make a lot of sense to me to not start those two unless they're just not really, really not ready.
I know. It didn't make sense last year to me either.
Yeah, well, last year you could make the case that the first 2 weeks of the season they were playing two of the best edge rushers. You know, they're two of the best edge rushers in the league, and they didn't want them to be quite that exposed that soon. So that's all I would tell you there. You know what I mean? But I think this year it would make sense to put in Frazier, put him from the start, let him be the center from the start.
And we all like the pick. We like the fact they went offensive line, that they went tackle, other guys.
Everything
on the board.
Fell to them with all these quarterbacks being taken. Yeah, they had a. I thought they're going to have a choice between Mims and him, but then Mims was scooped up by who was it? Cincinnati.
Did you think they were going to take Barton when it came to that pick?
No, I thought their need was more so tackle than that, just because Dan Moore's at if he doesn't play.
They took
year,
a hell of a chance. I'll say that because what if Frazier's not there?
Well. Going into day two, both the JPJ guy out of Oregon and Frazier were both there. But there were teams above them that needed center help, too. And one of them went in a different direction. So then you knew they were going to get their pick of one of those two.
All right. Go ahead, Paul.
I think that I referred to it in the Post-Gazette as a meat and potatoes draft.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is what it was.
That's what it was.
It's not, you know, everybody was talking about all these big moves they were going to make, you know, maybe draft a quarterback, maybe go out and get a receiver, you know, all that stuff. And basically they just said, you know, we're going to just keep it as simple as possible here and get the fundamentals.
Well,
and
I want to get to that. Yeah, they did. Except there's one area where there's not a lot of meat or potatoes. Let's talk coming up now. We all seem to agree, although we'll hear from you as well at 412-928-9370. That we like this draft, but I have a couple of questions for these fine gentlemen coming up. One, the biggest hole on the roster is fill in the blank. The position on the team you like the least, fill in the blank. And the position that improved the most, fill in the blank. We'll talk about that next. It's Off the Top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Here's a rundown of what's happening on today's show. Lots of draft talk. Mixed in with some Pirates, mixed in with the Fighting Rick Tocketts, tying a game with 6 seconds left. I would like to present a public apology to my friend Nelly. There was a different sound in my ear, Nelly, and it threw me off a lot.
That's my fault?
No, it's not your fault. It's a different sound coming through the headphones for some reason.
I thought Paul was going to expand on his point, and I tried to communicate to you that we have a soundbite on Roman Wilson and Peyton Wilson.
Why don't we run that next? From who?
The gentleman that you said, I don't remember his name.
Oh, the guy that said they're both going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yes.
I like that a lot. Bob, would you like to compliment Nelly for doing everything that he does?
Congratulations, Nelly.
Thank you, Bob.
Paul, any words for Nelly now that that's been straightened out?
No. He's good.
He's real good. He's real good at what he does. He's a meat and potatoes kind of guy back there. South Hills Kia fan Twitter. Peters Township, visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And finally, the text line, which is very important, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Right, Paul?
Yes.
Bob, did you ever get in a fight on a golf course or close?
I've never been in a fight. Never want to be in a fight.
In any setting, you've never been in one.
No, I'm always been one of these people that I do not. I shy away from that. I'd rather converse, discuss without yelling on any subject.
Nothing
because
in
that's
high
what
school.
It takes.
No fights in high school.
I wasn't that kind of guy. I'm not that kind.
When I was younger, I used to seek those out. I was likes to fight guy.
Do you believe that Bob's never been in one physical?
So if you
altercation?
And I met in high school,
oh, we'd have been swinging.
No. I would have tried to talk you out of that. I would have said, come on, Zeiss, Paul, let's go. This is your point. This is my point. We can agree to disagree. Let's figure this out. Let's go have a beer and we'll talk about it.
Yeah, my point is I got into a big scrap at a nightclub, you know, and it was pretty good, you know. I got a couple.
What precipitated
I got a couple of guys, just people acting like jackasses, and I actually ended up threw a bottle into the crowd.
But you didn't have a golf club and 20 golf balls.
No,
so
I threw a bottle into the crowd and then basically just ran in and started swinging because I was like, it's gonna be, you know, 1-on-5 or whatever. I'm gonna get a couple of them, but I ended up on the bottom of the pile. You know how it is. This and that. Bouncers come, everything. I get up, my shirt's ripped. I've got like scratches on my. I got a knot on the back of my head. I said, yeah, maybe this isn't so much fun anymore. Now, you know, when I was like 17, 18, this was fun. Now that I'm like 23, 24, not so much fun.
Who would win a boxing match between Bob and Ron?
Ron.
Well, if he's never been in a fight, I would say Ron.
Has Ron been in fights? I don't know about that.
Probably not, but Ron's a very, very peaceful man.
He gets emotional at times.
He does. Yeah. I think that would be a great fight, by the way.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't.
The stare down before the fight would be unbelievable.
Well, I could stare down with the best of them. I just don't go beyond that.
All right. Well, let's talk about my feet in lieu of all that and how the joints of my big toes bothered me.
What?
Yeah. Whenever I needed to start an exercise regimen or wanted to, playing pickup basketball, all that stuff. Misdiagnosed before I got to the Good Feet store. And the diagnosis doesn't matter at this point. What matters is less pain. And the Good Feet foot arch support system provided that. Less pain. They're designed to provide pain relief, balance, comfort. They're customized to your shoe. You don't have to go out and get new shoes, anything like that. It's very simple. And it worked for me. It could work for you. Might be pain and burning in the balls of your feet. Might be needles in your heel, something. But there's nothing like foot pain. You know, when you're all gung-ho about starting, I'm going to walk, a couple blocks just to get started on something here. And that ruins it. Foot pain ruins it. So again, the Good Feet store, come on in and try the Good Feet feeling today. I went to the one, there's a store in Robinson Town Center across from IKEA. There's one in Cranberry Township, Route 19 North. Next to Walgreens, there's one in Crowley Town, otherwise known as Morgantown, at the Suncrest Town Center. Comfort, energy, performance, pain relief at the Good Feet store. All right, Nelly. Apparently there's a football observer who thinks that the Steelers drafted the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Who is this, and may we hear the clip?
Sorry for the abrupt ending on the music, but it was Rhett Lewis from, I believe, NFL Network. You just run with it?
Yeah, man, let's hear it.
Oh, okay, guys, I'm going to go a little bit further down the draft board. A guy we saw come off the board on day two to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Give me Peyton Wilson,
yes.
Linebacker from NC State. Sign him up for 100 tackles already. It's going to happen. He was an absolute monster on the field for NC State. GPS to the football, blew up the combine with his athleticism. He's had some injury concerns, which led to the fall down the draft board, but he landed in a great spot. Guys, I'm making it three straight years.
Twice.
The Steelers are going to sweep the
awards.
Not Fatanu. I do like Troy Fatanu. I'd beat something if he won offensive rookie of the year. I'm giving it to Roman Wilson.
Roman Wilson
and Peyton Wilson are going to be
Russell
your
Wilson.
Yes.
From Russell Wilson. Yes.
From
Russell Wilson. Yes, I got you.
Love it.
There you go. The offensive and defensive rookies of the year. That might be taking it a little far, but I don't think Peyton Wilson is a bad pick for defensive rookie of the year. I don't. I think he's going to start.
If he stays healthy, I think he'll get it. Like I say, he's a stat sheet filler. He gets in there. He makes things happen.
You might as well, while he's healthy, play him, right?
Oh, yeah. You have to do that, I think. But, Roman Wilson, first of all, I don't know how many targets he's going to get. He'll be asked to block a lot. I don't know that he's going to have the ability statistically to deal with some of these quarterbacks. If any of these six quarterbacks right off the bat have any sort of success in play, they always get the nod. So, I don't know. That one seems a little bit of a stretch. Not that he can't get it. It's just in the system that I think they're going to try to unveil here, you're not going to see a lot of him.
Right. Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is if he plays a lot. I mean, they have a Landon Roberts and they have Patrick Queen, but if he plays a lot, there's no question he's going to have be productive and have the kind of numbers that are going to give him a chance to be rookie of the year. It's a little tougher for a receiver. I mean, if you think about it with the Steelers, there's a number one receiver already in place. B, they're probably going to go out and get another receiver between now and training camp that'll probably be their number two receiver.
They need one, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, they're going to go get one. And then the third thing is they're playing in a system where they're going to run the ball a lot and throw the ball to
tight
ends.
That's what I mean. Targets are not going to be
so,
all that much there.
I think, honestly, it will be it won't shock me if Peyton Wilson is the defensive player of the year or defensive rookie of the year.
They must lead
the
league.
It would really shock me, though, if Roman Wilson
is.
Yeah,
that's
really shock me, yes.
They do lead the NFL in Wilsons, I believe, Bob. Who's the most famous Wilson of all time? Woodrow?
Woodrow. Wilson.
Yeah.
Wilson Phillips.
Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys?
Wilson.
How about Craig Wilson, the guy I wanted to give a four-year, $16 million deal to?
Ron liked to remind you.
He likes
that,
to remind
he?
Me.
I would say Woodrow Wilson. He was the president, for God's sakes.
Yeah, he's up there. How about Wilson Guthrie, otherwise known as Woody Guthrie? You got a little This Land Is Your Land back there, Nelly? Why don't you fire that up to get us going here? Woody Guthrie, Bob? More famous than Woodrow Wilson?
No.
No? How about Wilson the volleyball?
Wilson the volleyball from the movie with Tom
Castaway.
Hanks.
Castaway.
I don't know.
It's up there, I would say.
It's a common name, so there should be a lot of potential.
How about Wilson Yip?
How about Charlie Wilson from the Gap Band?
He had the
Charlie
Yips.
Wilson's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
How about that?
How about Mookie Wilson? Remember him?
He's only one Mookie. I never knew another Mookie, did you?
Mookie Betts. Isn't that his name?
That's right, Mookie Betts. That's the only other. I should have known that. But, there's only – how many Mookies do you really know? Wilson, though, that's
is Russell
story.
Wilson the most famous Wilson in NFL history, right? Easily. Was there a Roger Wilson for the Cardinals? Is that a guy? Hack Wilson.
Hack Wilson.
In baseball.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a great one, Bob.
I don't
– Wilson Pickett? You're a little short on Wilsons, aren't you?
Yep.
Do you know anybody?
Wilson Pickett.
Do you know anybody named Wilson?
First or last name,
personally?
Well, I know some last name Wilsons, yes, but not first name. Friends of mine from
Jack
college.
Wilson.
Jack Wilson.
Willie Wilson.
Okay, Kansas City Royals, yep.
Let me ask you guys this
Jack
question.
Jack Wilson.
He was fun, wasn't he?
Good player. His son's a really good player.
Who did his son go to? The A's in the top five of the draft, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you this question. We all like the draft. We haven't had one disagreement yet today. We're all being very nice. When are we going to disagree, and will it be on this? The biggest hole left on this roster is blank. Paul?
Receiver.
I'll say corner.
And corner, too. Yeah, well, receiver. I'll go with receiver.
I'm going to say defensive line depth. And defensive line depth is pretty important when two of your starters, one is injury prone, and is Larry Ogunjobi 30? I think he is.
He's close to it if he's not there. Yeah, yep.
And the other one is Cam coming off a major injury. I think that's a big deal. So Paul's right. It was a meat and potatoes draft, but they gotta focus on the other side. You know, maybe it was just a meat draft. The potatoes are on the other side up front. I don't like their defensive. I mean, I like it if they're healthy and ready to go, but how realistic is that? For 17 games.
They did get one.
Yeah.
They did get one. They went out and got the kid Logan Lee from Texas, who looks to be like a typical guy they draft, who's got potential to be good. He's got to gain some weight, get a little bigger, more physical.
But he can make a play on special teams this year for sure.
So they did get it, but you're right. They need some beef on that side of the line.
I mean, it's Ogunjobi and Cam with Benton, who everybody loves. I love in the middle. I think he's going to be a really good player. But then what? You know? Then what? In a division where at least two of the three teams are going to try to line up and run the ball on you. For depth, you have Loudermilk, Leal, Adams at nose tackle. Like that, I think that's a major concern is defensive
it is.
Line.
I don't think there's any question it is, but you can't solve everything in one draft. And they had a bigger problem, I thought, at offensive line. They addressed it. We'll see what happens next. They need
I'm
Leal.
I'm not sure
Loudermilk. They need a lot of these guys to step up. They were expected
sure
to do more.
I'm offensive line was the bigger problem, honestly.
What if the defensive lineman they just got late in the draft pushes to the point where he wakes up Loudermilk or DeMarvin Leal.
I mean,
he needs a little push. Maybe
Loudermilk's been here for what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
I think Leal for a couple, but more the main concerns, Ogunjobi and Cam. Like, what are they going to get from Cam this year? You know.
Well, I think the big thing, Cam is obviously an important question because he was, you know, he has that groin thing that he had, and obviously that's something when you get to be his age. You just never know how it's going to heal and whether or not you're going to be able to play with it. But I think they do need a defensive lineman for sure. even if they just go get a sort of a plugger, a guy to put in the middle of the line for 1 year. But that has got to be the next frontier, Joe. You're absolutely right. Is that that's got to be the next thing now that they?
I mean, I think Benton is going to be. He's already good. I think he could be a really, really good player.
But if you think about it now, they have their offensive line in place for basically 8 to 10 years, as long as these guys are okay. You know, they got Jones, they got Frazier, they got Fontenot, and now you know, maybe they even got this guard from South Dakota State. They're in good shape there now. You can only really, really, truly address one thing, you know, one unit in an off season cycle, really, if you're trying to. Now, the thing about it is, I still think they need a corner. And Joe, I know, you know, I like Roman Wilson. I know Calvin, what's his name? Calvin
Austin.
Calvin Austin. I know that he's like the training camp darling of everybody that covers this team. Every single year at training camp, if you think about how much we hear about Calvin Austin, I've not seen it with him. And so they still need a two receiver. If they go get a bigger guy, the outside two, and that moves Roman Wilson into the slot, then I'll really, really like what they did on offense. But right now, I still think they're short a receiver.
What would you say if they decided on a one-year deal to go and get Odell Beckham Jr.?
I wouldn't be thrilled with it. I think he's just tailed off.
So do I, but he's out there.
There's
not a big list. Tyler Boyd, they've discussed.
Tyler Boyd would be my choice.
Yeah, but now, if he agrees to anything, he's going to be far less money than he originally wanted, and that's just going to be the way it is.
Well,
yeah,
Tyler Boyd,
I think they might be waiting him out the right way here.
Right, but I think do you think they still want him?
I would.
I'm just saying. I'm not saying you. I'm saying them.
I don't know if they do.
I know that he wanted what, like $10 million. I think I read $10 million.
Or he wasn't going to get that.
He wanted $10 to $12 million, but now you know he's got to recalibrate. I mean, that's one of the things that the Steelers and all these teams have done. Some of those free agents like him that maybe are a little older, or they're making them wait, because the longer they wait, the more they start to realize, I need to sign a deal so I can have some money coming in. So I think that, you know, they might be able to get him for like six and a half, seven million instead of the 9 to 12 that he wanted, you know, if you hold out. But the problem is, somebody at some point is going to basically step up and say, okay, now the price is at a place where we're going to sign him. So I don't know how much longer you can hold out and wait.
Well, back to the other side of the ball, corner, you guys mentioned, according to Jerry Dulac. And I think I saw one other report. Omar Khan, Mike Tomlin met with Cam Sutton last week. Is that a good idea?
You know, I don't know, just because I'm not sure where the legal part of his problems are right now. I understand it. All that stuff was dropped to misdemeanor status, but he was AWOL for almost a month. That's not a good look. After there was an arrest warrant for you for whatever happened there. I don't know. But Detroit didn't waste any time saying that we don't want this around, done. And he signed a big contract. He had played his entire career to get that contract. So now, if they're willing to do it, and listen, I think Mike Tomlin, the one great thing about him is he has relationships with these guys, and he is legitimately trying, he's in their lives, trying to help them make better choices, do better things. I've seen that. I know he does that. So he has a relationship with that guy. Perhaps he was just trying to get him, you know, back, talk to him, what is going on here, let's help you out, whatever. I don't know if it means he's going to sign here, but if he does, that can help. And you're talking about a lower salary, Paul, on Boyd. What would it take? Cam Sutton would have to take whatever they offer, period. No discussion. It would be.
I think they could get him for almost nothing.
Can he play?
Well,
he was horrible in Detroit. I thought
he was
bad,
and that's part of the
bad
reason. I think their cornerback situation is predicated on Corey Trice. I think they really highly think of his skills. He got injured. I think they may have deferred to their thought that we could put him out there.
He's still being charged with misdemeanor battery.
Yeah, it's not a good look.
He still face a maximum 1 year, which means that the league could eventually step in here. I thought he was bad in Detroit. Every indication, the eye test, that the analytics say he was bad. Now, maybe he was playing a different role than here. I don't like this idea, Paul.
It would all depend on what they think they can get out of him.
Yeah.
Because I think that, obviously, he's not coming here to be a starting corner.
I mean, he might be.
He could be a slot corner.
He could be a slot corner. I mean, if he's one of your slot corners, guy, you can play in your nickel package a little bit. I mean, you can't bring him here to be your second corner, to your point, Joe. You just can't. And I think that really, but you could probably get him for...
Yeah, he has no bargaining position.
You might
whatsoever.
Be able to get him for like 2 years, $2 million. Would you do that, Joe, if you got him for $1 million a year?
No, I don't want him. It feels messy. It feels like something the league's going to step in, and then you got to make another deal or bring somebody else in. I don't like it. I don't like it. Dante Jackson, I mean, is he a solid number two?
No.
That's the question.
He's I think not. When healthy, he can be.
Can he?
You know, they still can bring back Patrick Peterson if they want. They still can go out, and there are guys out there still.
I know. Well, that's the good news and the bad news, I guess, with him and Sutton, is that they're both out there and you can bring them in. You know what I mean?
Patrick, who would you rather have, Joe, Patrick Peterson or Cam Sutton?
The Cam Sutton. Corey Trice. The Cam Sutton of 2 years ago, for sure. But, again, I don't know where this whole thing goes. The guy took off for 3 weeks. That doesn't exactly scream... I'm innocent of any wrongdoing here, does it?
No.
Well,
I mean, that's a problem. I mean, it's one thing to do whatever happened. It's another thing to just go AWOL when people are looking for you and there's an arrest warrant out for you.
There's something very troubling about what went down there. It's just, it doesn't feel like something that's just going to end cleanly here. I don't know, though. I don't know. Maybe that's unfair. But I'm not making that move. But I was going to ask you guys, what position... In terms of the starters, forget about depth for now. What position on this team do you like the least? And you can be as specific as number two corner. And I think that might be right where I would go is number two corner. And maybe two receiver.
I go with number two receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, I just...
Not a Van Jefferson guy.
Or Quez Watkins, or, you know, is Miles Boykin still around, or did it get rid of him?
No, he went to another team.
Yeah, he's gone too. I mean, my point is, I look at that group, and I said this, Joe, I wrote this in a column the other day. I said, the receiving core is George Pickens and five guys named Mo, and I'm not sure Mo isn't the second best guy in that group.
He might be.
Because at the end of the day, I'm looking at that group and I'm like, they have to go get somebody else. And the thing about it, it's funny, Joe, is Tyler Boyd a two at this point?
I think he could be still.
He's probably better than whatever they have right now.
He's not a two like T. Higgins is a
no,
two.
No,
or, you know.
But here's to the point, he's a bigger receiver. You can put him on the outside and then all of a sudden, you know, you move – Roman Wilson inside.
Yes,
you probably make yourself a lot better. And Pickens, you know, obviously on the outside, on the other side, I think you probably make your receiving core a lot better.
Plus, you have Freiermuth, and plus you have two running backs who can catch the ball.
Right,
you know what I mean.
And I think in Arthur
and Connor Hayward is in there who can make plays.
And I think in Arthur Smith's offense, they'll utilize Freiermuth more than he's been utilized.
Yeah, I think one more nice weapon. I mean, ideally, everybody wants a great number two. Who could even be a number one on another team, but how often do you get that, you know?
Yeah.
The Steelers have had great situations like A.B. and Juju for a couple of years there and stuff like that. I'll take a Tyler Boyd right now. I would definitely take that. All right. This is all relative, of course, to what's happening elsewhere in the division. So let's take a look at what some other teams did in the division. And who has the arrow pointed up and down in the AFC North? Let's compare that to the Steelers coming up at the top of the hour. And I have some very definite ideas on which team has an arrow pointed down. I can tell you that. Coming up, break out your clubs for a great cause May 28th at Valley Brook Country Club. Shenderovich, Shenderovich, and Fishman hosting a golf tournament to benefit two. It's about the Warrior Veterans. All funds raised will go to these two individuals who served and sacrificed for our country to participate. Visit 98twinsgolf.com. That's 98twinsgolf.com. Nellie, I can't find something that's very important, and it's not your fault. I'm just buying time. Here it is. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And definitely want to talk about this. We're answering the call. 93.7 The Fan will host the Fan 5-Alarm Marathon to benefit local volunteer fire departments. We'll broadcast live for over 26 hours as we raise funds to help these volunteers who serve and sacrifice for us. Go to 93.7 The Fan for details on the event and to register your local VFD. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon, presented by Allegiant Community Federal Credit Union and Og Murphy Percosi, I should say. Og Murphy Percosi, the firm, and Gherkin Roofing and Contracting. And Bob, we tried on those firefighting outfits last week, and it was unbelievable, wasn't it, what those people go through?
You know, I have so much respect for people who selflessly go and do their business to help others, and it's purely that. And firefighters are those people, first responders, a lot of great police departments around, people who go out of their way to have to deal with situations you'd never want to deal with.
Yeah.
And here they are. And you're right. In that equipment, you know how heavy that stuff is?
I didn't. I put it on.
Yeah, when we put it on, I said, how in the world are you going to function like this? But that's very heavy stuff.
Yeah.
So just impressed and honored that we're going to do that.
Paul had the whole outfit on.
Yeah, he did. But the boots are, you can't get into them. You have to get specially sized feet.
But the boots were very, the boots, it was amazing how heavy the pants, you know, the pant, I mean, the coat was heavy, but like the pants, I'm thinking to myself, man, how do you climb up and down ladders wearing these things?
Yeah, all of that.
You know, and the boots obviously were, you know, I had a hard time getting on because they weren't my size, but still, they're obviously designed to, you know, keep your feet safe and everything else. So I bet you if I'd have got them all the way on, they would have been really, like, my feet would have been, like, hot, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, you're running into a fire to, you know, try and, you know, save people or whatever, wearing all this equipment. Inside the house, it's got to be, what, 200 degrees if it's fire with the, you know,
however, the smoke inhalation
with the smoke
that,
and everything. And I mean, that job and being a cop, those two jobs, I tell you what, we do not, and we, even though we try and honor them as much as we do not appreciate how difficult those jobs are. And you know, I'm just telling you, just putting on that coat and those pants, I got an even more of an appreciation for firemen.
Go to 93.7 The Fan for details on that. The Fan 5-Alarm Marathon coming up. Sun Chevy Fan Weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Spring's here, so are the deals at Sun Chevy, sunchevy.com. Beautiful today. Sunny throughout, high of 84. Bob, you want to play golf?
I'd love to play golf.
Call in sick.
I know.
Call in sick, he says.
Here I am. If I start coughing, maybe that'll lead the way, and then, you know, pick it up, and in 2 hours, I could probably do that, but I'm not going to, Joe.
Paul and I both have messages for you. Coming up top of the hour, AFC North. What's going on this offseason? Who has the arrow pointed up and down? Right now at Wendy's, kickstart your morning with the new breakfast burrito. Not your average run-of-the-mill, fun-size breakfast burrito. This thing is hearty, delicious, 6 strips of bacon, seasoned potatoes, 2 fresh cracked eggs, 2 slices of cheese, all wrapped in a warm flour tortilla. I want to eat one right now. I do. So Wendy's new breakfast burrito, complete breakfast in one hand and ready to go anywhere you go, like to your office or maybe Saturday morning errands, wherever you go, the burrito wants to go with you. Break your